Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. This journey on Friday takes us back into perhaps the greatest sermon ever delivered. We're talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Roger and I both have been preaching for a good long time, but there is so much that can continue to be learned from this great sermon. A couple of weeks ago, we introduced it, looked at it from a 30,000-foot point of view, and I, in fact, read the entire thing. It just takes 16 or 17 minutes to read the entire thing. Last Friday, we were in Matthew chapter 5. We noticed that what's going on the inside matters just as much, if not more, than the outside. What people notice about us, our righteousness, the light that we are reflecting, matters in the sight of God. And of course, Jesus is our King. He spoke as one who had great, even supreme authority. Roger, that takes us here as we enter into the weekend into Matthew chapter 6. Just a great chapter.
It is. And this chapter, I guess of the three in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel, could be considered the religious chapter. He's going to be dealing with our practices of almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And he's going to be driving home some points here about our attitude as we do these things. He'll then move into a discussion about prayer. And then the chapter ends by talking about the subject of worry. And all of those, very, very practical, all those are right where we're at today. And so what's interesting is when you kind of take the bigger look of this chapter, and then we'll kind of zoom in on two or three particular topics, what we notice about these three illustrations Jesus gives, the idea of alms, the idea of prayer, and the idea of fasting, he shows the disciples in that audience, here's what doesn't work. Don't do it this way. But then he flips it and shows them, do it this way. And so he was noticing the practices that were common of the day was all external. And it was all to draw attention to them, to get a pat on the back. And in all three illustrations, he'd used the expression that they have received the reward in full. And that idea is there's nothing else coming. If I've been paid in full, I'm not getting paid anymore. And so the idea is that God's not going to bless you. God's not going to do anything for this because you got what you were after. And what you were after was the praise of men. And so what he shows us here is God notices our worship, and our worship can be skewed. Our worship may be off balance because our attention, rather than on praising God, helping our fellow man, can be making ourselves look good. And they were after the attention, and in doing that, they forgot to focus upon God.
We talked a little bit about social media last Friday from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 6 is just full of lessons for anyone. Any of us who use social media need to periodically read Matthew chapter 6, because what's the goal of our using it? Is it to simply draw attention to ourselves? You just ask your typical teenager, what is the goal of most teenagers? And they'll just straight up tell you, I know because I have a couple at home. And they will tell you the goal is the more likes, the more follows, the more shares, that equals success. But for the disciple of Jesus, if the goal even of doing, sharing, saying religious things is to draw attention to myself, well, this is still just as relevant as ever. I have my reward in full, but Jesus is teaching us the goal of the disciple is not for me to stand out as someone worthy of following, worthy of attention. The goal of the disciple every day, everywhere, is to draw attention to our Father in heaven.
And as we have titled this series, we're talking about two preachers look at the Sermon on the Mount. This is true of us preachers. I mean, at the end of the day on Sunday is the purpose to have people say, man, I liked your sermon. That's the best sermon I ever heard. Or was it to teach the truth of God's word and to please God? This is something that is very relevant for us today. And in all three of these illustrations, the alms, the prayer, and fasting, Jesus would refer to those who were not doing it right as being hypocrites. The Greek concept of hypocrite is as an actor. And unlike today in our modern plays, we may have 100 people in a play. The ancient Greeks would have one person, and he would have a mask of a villain. Then he turns back to the audience, and then he'd put on the mask of a woman and throw his voice. And then he'd take off that mask and put on the mask of the hero. He's one person doing all these different people, but he was acting. That really wasn't who he was. At the end of the day, the mask stayed in the theater, and he went home. These people were being hypocrites. They were playing to be religious, but their hearts simply weren't right. So Jesus is driving that, once again, that your heart must be focused on God, even when it comes to religious things. And this shows us that God doesn't accept everything that's thrown up in worship. We must do things God's way and the way God wants us to.
One of the things that really stands out to me from chapter 6 is this phrase repeated a few times, our Father sees in secret. What a great thing to get at the forefront of our minds here as we head into the weekend. We have a Father who sees, who hears, who knows. For the person who is walking in accordance with this amazing teaching, that Father who sees in secret is going to reward. But for those of us who have things tangled up on the inside and as a result are tangling things up on the outside, perhaps our Father who sees in secret will use Matthew chapter 6 to rebuke us. And there's a lot going on there as well.
So let's focus on just a couple of themes within Matthew 6. I mean, this is a chapter that we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks studying. It's a beautiful chapter, and we would really encourage you to read this. It's just a wonderful thing. But let's focus on the subject of prayer. That's something very relevant to us today. And then as we wrap this up, we'll go back and talk a little bit about the subject of worry. But let's just read some of the verses here as Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. When you pray, and let's just stop there for a minute. He's assuming that's something we're going to do. When you pray, we need to be praying to God. When you pray, he says, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you that they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they'll be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for the transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, let's go back through this and talk about some things. First of all, Jason, you know, earlier what I read, he says, your Father knows what you need, verse 8, before you ask him. Well, that tells me, why do I need to ask him? He already knows. I mean, just like, hey, God, you know what I need, just take care of it.
One of the most fundamental ways I think God is real in my life, whether I believe in him or not, he is real. He is. Blessed is the one who believes that and diligently seeks him, right? But one of the ways, day by day, he is a real influence in my life is when I turn down the noise, calm whatever it is that's swirling around in my own life, and just communicate with him. Prayer is not simply talking to God. Prayer is an ancient discipline, a God-defined discipline that helps me get my mind where it needs to be. Whether I pray to him or not, he knows what I need. But when I pray, I acknowledge that need. I come face to face with that need. I verbalize that need. I think maybe, you know, if you have a couple of kids at home and you surprise them as they come home from school and you've provided something really great that thrills them, well, they can yell in excitement or squeal or whatever it is and take that and run off and never acknowledge that you thought about them during the day. But there is something special when they not only receive the gift and they know where it's come from, but they take the time to communicate.
You're showing that you need God.
Yes.
You're not independent. We're not flying solo here. And as we go through this prayer here in a minute, there's things in here we cannot do. We cannot do without God. We cannot have forgiveness without God. We cannot even have our daily bread without God. And so he knows we need it, but we need to show that we need it by praying to him and acknowledging his place in our lives.
I like you coupling that with the daily bread. To this day, we live in this strange season where life in our church buildings isn't the way that we have always known in our lifetimes. But that doesn't mean that prayer is shut down, right? There is very little doubt in my mind, tragically, that there are someone who is listening to this podcast right now who has not said a prayer since they were last in a church building. Maybe a husband or a father who has not led a prayer since they last led one in a church building. And that's exactly what Jesus is warning against. You know, it's great to be willing to stand up and lead others in prayer, but if you only do that in the context of a Sunday assembly in a church building, well, you're the hypocrite of Matthew chapter 6, right? Even though life right now in the summer of 2020 isn't the way that we wish it was, prayer, not only is it not canceled, it is desperately needed just as much as our daily bread.
And what a contrast he makes to the hypocrites. They were standing on street corners. They were in a synagogue. The implication is there are people to hear them.
Yeah.
Don't do that, but go in your closet, shut the door. There's no one in there but you and God, and you're not going to impress God. You're not going to say, God, look at all, you know, you're going to be wild by this. No, there's no one to show off to. There's no one to brag about. There's no one to be dishonest about. There's just you and God. What a place to be, to go in that closet and shut the door, cut out all the noise, just you and God.
If I don't do that, I'm inadvertently communicating to him, I don't really need you, right? I've got this.
Yeah.
And pride, that sort of pride, goes before terrible falls.
Now, a couple other things, because I want to go through, just kind of look at several things he says in this prayer. For generations, this has been called the Lord's Prayer. You and I don't call it that. How come?
Well, I think it is not something that belongs to the Lord and the Lord only. He was teaching his disciples to pray. I don't believe that he was giving some sort of a magic formula that if I just recite this over and over again, something is going to be unlocked to me by just chanting the words. He's teaching disciples to pray. And it's easy, I think, for us just to read right over even the first line. This was a revolutionary idea to descendants of Abraham to pray something like, our Father in heaven. Jesus is uncovering new ground to his disciples. Pray like this.
And what that prayer shows us is relationship.
Yeah.
That's how it begins. He could have said, pray about my Father who's in heaven, or pray your Father. Our Father connects us to Jesus, and it connects us to God. How important that is. There's no example of Jesus actually praying this prayer in the Bible. There's a statement in here that he would not have prayed himself. He would not have asked for forgiveness because Jesus was without sin. We understand that. But what this is it shows the disciples how to pray. And what's interesting about this is the simplicity. Simplicity and volume. You know, had we not had this in Matthew chapter 6, and we had no prayers of Jesus, and we were just to make our assumptions from what we thought, we might think, well, Jesus would have had pages and pages and pages and pages of prayer. But this is a very, very, very short prayer. The words are very, very simple. You don't have to go get a dictionary and say, man, what does that word mean? What does that word mean? Jesus uses common words, everyday words, but he uses them reverently, and the prayer involves physical things such as daily bread. It involves spiritual things such as forgiveness and temptation. It involves today, like our daily bread. It involves the kingdom coming. And so today, tomorrow, all these things, I think, help us to see that prayer needs to be from the heart more than anything else. It needs to be personal more than anything else. Just reciting a bunch of meaningless words, as he even illustrated here, loses the point. You're not really talking to God. You've just memorized something, and you might as well be just quoting anything because it doesn't touch you whatsoever.
And however I make those things personal, I mean, this is evergreen content in many ways, right? You talked about relationship, our Father in heaven. There's reverence. Hallowed be your name. Now, you mentioned the kingdom. We understand his kingdom has arrived, right? But still today, we need to recognize he is the king. We are to submit to him, that there is submission here and searching for the king. Help me to live as your will is done in heaven. There's dependence. Give us this day our daily bread. There is a recognition of need for salvation. Forgive us our debts. But there's also this understanding that I'm not simply called to believe in Jesus and accept forgiveness of sins. I'm expected to be a Christ-like influence in the world in the forgiving of debts to others. There's also an awareness of danger, right? The need for this king, not simply to be my savior, but my guide. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. All of those things are things we need to be praying about every single day.
And what's impressive about this is how top-loaded this is about God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. He just doesn't begin by saying, we need this, get this, get rid of this, help me here. This is not talking to a magical genie. This is not a Christmas list. This is someone talking to a living God.
That's like the child who comes and wants whatever you have to offer but isn't interested in a relationship with you.
So he reminds us, you're talking to God, and God's in heaven, and God's name is holy, it's hallowed, it's special. Realize, this is not the big guy in the sky. This is not Dad. This is God in heaven. He's our Father. Talk to him about that way. And to understand, his will is going to be done, not your will. Prayer is not about getting what I want. It's about getting God's will on earth. And all of those things help us to remind ourselves, what the value of prayer is and how important it is to pray.
One of the supreme values of prayer is that it helps us to deal with anxiety and worry, right? And we wanted to take a few minutes here in this episode to look at those last several verses in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus specifically says, don't be anxious. What stands out to you about that section of the chapter?
Well, the New American Standard uses the word worry rather than anxious, but five times it comes up. Three times specifically, he says, do not worry. Do nots in the Bible is like a stop sign, and don't do it. And he uses common illustrations. He uses illustrations of birds, illustrations of flowers or lilies, and God takes care of them. And what runs through these verses here is what worry is. Worry sees the problem and not God. And what worry does is worry lacks faith and worry lacks trust. And so he doesn't say there's nothing to be worried about. He doesn't say problems are magically going to go away. No, the problems are going to be there. This very sermon talks about how you're going to be persecuted and hurt and things like that. But we have a God who's in heaven. And we have someone who loves us. And so matching these ending of this chapter with a section about prayer, instead of worrying, pray. Instead of worrying, trust. Instead of giving up, believe.
That's one way of really saying practically what he teaches in Matthew 6:33, right? You mentioned over and over again, he says, do not, do not, do not, do not. And then he tells us what to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lots of practical ways we do that, right? We pray, we trust, we take in his word, we shine as lights in this world. We seek to be of help and encouragement and comfort to the people around us. Roger, we're living in a summer where report after report shows that the anxiety levels of young and old are just skyrocketing all around us. It's all right here in Matthew chapter 6. We know that in the era of Jesus, there were tragedies, there were sicknesses, there were wars, there were earthquakes, and yet Jesus says, don't worry, seek me and my kingdom first.
And I just wonder, you know, there are times when a person needs some help mentally. We understand that. But I wonder if we rely too much on pills rather than God. And I wonder if we have to have too many antidepressants rather than faith in God. Those are some things that only each person can answer. But we realize that pills do not take away problems. They may calm you down. They may put you in a better mood, but the problems are still there. How you deal with the problems are going to come from God.
Maybe it's not pills. Maybe it's just noise, right? We live in an era where we are just addicted, myself included, if I'm not careful to. I've always got to have something going on in the background, some sort of noise, the television on, the radio on, something playing. You go back there to Matthew chapter 6, the first few verses. If I never have those quiet moments during the day, in the evening, over the weekend, where I shut the door, turn off the noise, and am just quiet. Be still and know that he is God. If I don't do that, a vital lifeline of discipleship is missing.
Just sit on your back porch in the evening with a cup of coffee and just listen to the birds and look at the trees and just let your mind go. Just observe. Notice colors. Notice sounds. There's just so many wonderful, wonderful lessons we can pull in as we just kind of unplug from the world a little bit and plug back into God. So important for us to do that.
As we head into this weekend, I'd really encourage you to think about how practically over the next couple of days can I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Really easy right now to give in to distractions, to give in to worry, just to maybe even unplug from the basic habits and rhythms of discipleship. That's not the answer. That's not how to endure the storm. That's not how to keep our anchor in Jesus strong. So what will I do today, tomorrow, Sunday, to seek him and his kingdom first? Such a powerful thing to think about. If it's been a little while since you read Matthew chapter 6, you would be well served this weekend by going back and just quietly listening to Jesus. Roger, Lord willing, next Friday we'll wrap this little series up by turning our attention to Matthew 7. I appreciate you joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for your journey. Always remember, no matter what's going on around us, when we're walking with Jesus, we're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.